Morrissey with a blast, right field. Three-run shot. Royals take a 4-1 lead. Second home run of the season for Mondesi.
908 is our time, 83 degrees. Royals won offensive highlight again. Well, there were more offensive highlights, but that was the one that we chose. Three-run homer by Mondesi, and the Royals score 9 runs. And the Royals win 9-4 last night over the Twins. And so the Royals are now 26-65. And with the win, the Royals, darn it, still aren't the worst team in baseball. Because Baltimore won, the Royals won. If the Royals would have lost last night, they would have been the worst team in baseball. Then they would have the number one overall draft pick of the season ended today. But no, the Royals got to go out and win last night. So, and Baltimore won. So, Baltimore's 26-66, and the Royals are 26-65. So the race for the number one pick is on. And by the way, the Orioles are so bad, but yet they've beaten the Yankees 5 out of 9 times. They have a winning record against the Yankees. That makes total sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Total sense. So the Royals win 9-4, and Mondesi had a big night for KC. Mentioned the home run that you just heard there. He had an RBI single. Royals break a 10-game losing streak. The Royals had gone 30 straight games of scoring 5 runs or fewer. That's an amazing stat. Mondesi also had a stolen base, a nice play at shortstop, and even more reason to play him every day at short and let Escobar sit on the bench. But that's just my opinion. I think shared by many Royals fans. But Mondesi showing some flashes of what he could possibly be. The one thing we got to keep in mind, he's still 22. I think a lot of people think he's 25, 26 because he's had a couple of call-ups. And they've tried to give him the job when he was 20 a couple years ago, in spite of Whit Merrifield, who's used that as motivation to become a really good player. And he's using the All-Star snub as Whit to be motivated to be a really good player. Thus, you saw the other day with 5 hits after he found out he was snubbed. Although there's many other players who have been snubbed that probably are as worthy or even more worthy of making All-Star team. Obviously, Salvi is not worthy of being on the team this year based on his numbers in this season, but that's the way it is sometimes with a popularity contest. But Mondesi had a nice night. Maybe a glimpse into the future. Royals win 9-4.
Yes. Are we going more Royals talk, or do you want me to go to...
No, I'm talking Royals.
Royals, okay.
I would segue into the other thing.
Okay, yeah. That's what I figured. But, yeah, Royals, yeah, Mondesi, I really feel like what you're saying is true about him. I mean, they rushed him. They wanted him to be what he was real quick, and he just didn't have the bat ready, and you could see that. And as you go with Mondesi, I mean, it takes some of these guys, you can see their careers, it takes a while for them to find the bat at the big league level sometimes, and I think that we're starting to see a little bit of that here with him this season. He's already shown that he's got more power this year. That's only 2 home runs, but he's shown the ability to do that, and really he's shown a lot of different tools this time around since he's been up, and I think it's pretty clear that he's the guy they should be going with right now with what we got going on with the Royals currently. I mean, there's no reason that for me that he shouldn't be out there every day doing his thing, because that's how you make the improvements and that's how you advance with this group.
Birch Smith will be on the hill for the Royals tonight against the Twins. Royals trying to get a series victory, which they haven't had in quite some time. Lance Lynn on the hill for the Twins. Birch Smith, his first start as a Kansas City Royal. Moved in starting rotation. Jason Hamill's been so bad the last few times, he's been shipped to the bullpen. Royals win last night 9-4 over the Twinkies. All right, local sports. We've got the Chad McDaniel Memorial Race. That's a big thing in Beloit. I don't know if we've got any sound or anything. We're going to have a story on that, Chad McDaniel.
I'll put a story together for
that
sure, yeah.
That would be pretty good because it's a big deal in Beloit, and it is a sporting event, of course. 9th annual Chad McDaniel Race. Spencer sent me a text. Said they're going to be, he says here, starts at 6:30. Of course, we've talked about it and played the ads throughout the day on Waterside Wake Up as well. And, of course, Matt Chad McDaniel killed in a racing accident years ago, and they started this memorial race, and it's always a huge thing, and it's quite an honor for Beloit to be hosting it here at Song Valley Raceway, which was one of, if not, Chad's favorite racetracks to race at. And it's hard to believe it's been that long since he's passed away. So pull up Spencer's text here because he had a little bit more specifics. He says, in Oklahoma last night, they had 31 cars, and all those cars are headed this way. So they're ready to race tonight, beginning at 6:30, the Chad McDaniel Memorial Race at Solomon Valley Raceway in Beloit. Make sure that you attend. And if you're a race car fan, it's a must. You need to get there. I know people that go each and every year say it's just fantastic. The racing is some of the best on these small tracks, the quarter-mile track there at the Solomon Valley Raceway. So If you want to see some really good racing, folks, tonight is your opportunity. You don't have to travel very far, right there in Beloit at Solon Valley Raceway. And thanks to Spencer and all the people that put the race together and do a lot of the behind-the-scenes work to bring such a big event to the community and here to North Central Kansas and to Beloit in specifically. All right. Local coach, another change in coaching and sports.
Yes, John Bowden, Thunder Ridge volleyball coach, has resigned as the head coach there at Thunder Ridge, and sounds like it was kind of a forced resignation. Bowden spent the last 9 years as the head coach. At this time, we're trying to reach out to Bowden and USD 110 for some comments. Bowden did say on Facebook that he thanked all the players and parents and administration during the 9 years, and a special thanks to the family, coaches, and officials. Again, Bowden spent 9 seasons, as we just mentioned. Thunder Ridge went 229-97 in that time. Had 2 appearances in the state tournament in 1A Division I in Hayes in 2011 and 2015, and also regular season NPL tournament, or regular season titles in 14 and 15, and NPL tournament champions in 14 and 17. And since the NPL began back in 2011, Thunder Ridge is 62-15 in league games in that time, so 81% rounded up there, their winning percentage in league play. So we'll follow that with any updates that we get. And again, if we have any comments that we can get from Coach Bowden or from the USD 110 administration and board and district there, we'll pass all that info along, including once we know who the successor will be to Coach Bowden, we'll have that information hopefully as soon as we can and pass that along to all the folks out there.
What was his winning percentage again?
Total winning percentage was 70%.
70%?
Yep.
He won league titles, made it to state a couple times.
Yep.
What was their record last year? Did they fall off the map last year?
No, they did not.
They didn't. Yeah, just being
and I didn't put last year's record in my list here. But overall, I mean, they were 10-2 in the league, and I think they lost. I don't have 100%. I don't want to say their official record. I know they were 10-2, but
33-5.
I was going to say, I thought there were 5 losses, but I didn't want to say that without actually having that in front of me. So
33-5 and 10-2 in league. It's pretty simple, okay? You're the one that said, sounds like a forced resignation. Your word's not mine.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that means if it's a forced resignation, that the coach really didn't want to step down. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, exactly.
Once again, not my words, your words.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I'm going to say here that this is becoming a disturbing trend in coaching. And not only across the country, but in our area. And once again, I don't know the specifics. There might be a good reason why they want to change coaches with the volleyball program. Could be a very good reason why. Could be numerous reasons why. And that's why when you do a story, you try to get both sides of the story.
Yeah.
Okay? So I'm not going to sit here and say that Thunder Ridge is making this gigantic mistake. I'm not saying that at all. I'm also not saying they're making the right decision either.
Sure, sure.
Okay? Well, what I am going to say is that this is a trend. We have seen it in other sports and other schools in our area that are getting rid of coaches that are highly successful. And so here's the thing I hear from parents all the time. When coaches aren't successful and not winning games, well, we need somebody that knows what they're doing, needs to go in there and win games. And then people go in and they win games. Well, that's not good enough. Well, what do you need? 8 championships in a row at state for you to finally back off coaches? Because this is ridiculous. It's getting to a point where, listen, if you think coaching is fun to do, it can be. But if we're at this level of high school sports where coaches are getting blown out, and once again, I don't know the specifics of this situation, but I certainly do know specifics of other situations that happened in the last 10 years since I've been here.
Oh, I think we all do, yeah.
So if you're going to blow out the coaches that are winning, what do you expect you're going to get as replacements? State championship coaches that have never coached before? I mean, what do you have a plan B or plan Z ready to go? I understand if there's just an unbelievable thing that happened that you just absolutely have to get rid of the coach. Okay, we've seen this across the pro landscape as well. There's something that's so egregious that you got to let go of the coach, no matter, and the player, whatever it might be, no matter how bad it is, or, you know, how good the coach they are, it's just a horrible situation. You know, like criminal activity, gambling, who knows what it might be.
Yeah.
Assault, We could go on and on. I get all that. But if none of that is involved, and this is just because certain people within the community, parents of kids don't like the coach, parents of the kids happen to be on the school board, and they have the power to push coaches out that are winning. Guess what other people say? Listen, I'm just going to tell you right now. If I'm a coach that's interested in coaching somewhere, I don't know if I want to follow a guy that goes 33-5. It's kind of like K-State. Do I want to follow Bill Snyder, or do I want to wait till somebody come in and stink and then follow that guy? You know, and the other question you have as a coach is, do I want to go to that particular school in a situation, wherever it might be across the world, if that's what happened to that coach and that coach was extremely successful on the court or on the baseball field or the gridiron, do I want to put myself in that situation because, wow, that coach did a wonderful job, and that coach wasn't safe. What's going to happen if I have to inherit a situation where there's no seniors, I don't have a lot of talent? Sometimes we see coaches step away because the cupboard is bare coming up, and they bail on the program. We've seen that as well. And then the new guy comes in. He doesn't have much talent to work with, and in a couple of years, they can him because he didn't win enough. Well, he didn't have a lot of talent to work with.
Sure.
So there's this – coaching is not easy, and I'm really – it's really frustrating me, and I'm getting more and more frustrated. I have friends in the coaching fraternity. I have friends that are in the officiating fraternity. And I'm going to tell you something. Good coaches and good officials are starting to become endangered species. Agree?
Yeah.
So we keep running off officials because we scream at them all the time when they make a mistake. If we run off good officials, or are officials just trying to learn how to officiate, and if we run off coaches that are learning how to coach, or have to coach as a Rule 10 just to fill a position so the kids have a coach or an adult to conduct practice, even if they're not even qualified to coach, there are some situations you've got coaches that don't know how to coach, but they're only doing it because nobody else wants to do it.
Exactly, yeah.
Even at the high school level, we're seeing this with various sports. Assistant coach, they don't know much about the sport. I talked to a person just the other day. They go, I'm coaching because nobody else wants to do it. I'll admit, I don't really know what I'm doing. But nobody else is stepping up to do it. In order for them to have a team, I got to coach. And then they get ripped. Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Well, why the hell didn't you sign up to coach? I mean, it's getting ridiculous. So when you see coaches, and we've seen certainly a handful in the last 10 years in this area, and it's not just this area. It's across the whole state.
Yeah. It's across the country.
I mean, TMP blew out their boys basketball coach. Are you kidding me? They blew him out after 30 years.
Yeah.
He just went to state the last 2 years.
Yeah.
They blew him out. If that guy ain't safe, who is? And that's scary for the profession of coaches. Nobody's safe. I'll give you an example. He's a friend of mine. I'll mention his name. I think I'm okay to say this. I was talking with him not too long ago. Sacred Heart got rid of their coach, Pat Martin, which now there was some issues there, of course, with ineligible player and all this at Substate or whatever. Okay, so there's more to the story there. Okay, so he's no longer there. Southeast Saline head coach stepped down. I know there's things going on there that he decided to step away from that wasn't hunky-dory. I can tell you that without getting too specific. Okay, the Ellsworth coach, boys coach, was fired during the season, let go after there was some issues. Okay, so there are seven teams in the North Central Activity Association in boys basketball. Who do you think is the longest tenured head coach in boys basketball?
I mean, I'd probably
NCAA.
Say probably Ryan.
It's Ryan Eilert. It's not even close. And he's been coaching, 10 years?
Yeah.
Ryan Eilert is the dean of boys basketball coaches in the North Central Activity Association. And he's younger than me. He's the dean of the NCAA boys basketball coaches, and he's coached just a decade.
Yeah.
What does that say? That's because, so you got people to get blown out because they've done some things maybe they shouldn't have done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You got guys stepping away because they're tired of all the BS that goes with it. And you got school boards firing coaches because somebody on the school board doesn't like the coach, or there's their kids involved, or they think they got somebody better that's going to take them further because they have a higher opinion of the talent that's in their school and don't really maybe know fully what they have because they're not at practices. They happen to be a parent or whatever. So as a result of all those combinations, you end up with a whole bunch of new coaches.
Sure.
You end up having a coaching carousel at a school, and I'm going to tell you, unless you have an unbelievable talent base at whatever school, at whatever level, whether it's high school, junior high, whatever it might be, across the state or across the entire country, whatever that may be, if you keep changing coaches every other year or every year, your program will suffer. You need stability. It's not, it's just like your job. And this is where people on the school board, I think, school boards across America need to start to figure this out. All right, is that you want to blow out coaches and teachers too? By the way, it's not just coaches.
Yeah.
We're talking. You don't. You know, if some teacher. How dare a teacher make a stand against a kid that's rowdy in class? Well, that's it. My Johnny's not that bad of a kid. And if the wrong kid in a teacher's classroom, that parent happens to be on a school board or has power in a community, guess what? That teacher is vulnerable. Even though they might have done the right thing. So here's what happened. So we get rid of that teacher, we bring in another teacher. So think about this, if you need to put apples to apples here. So if you think anybody can just coach and take over and lead a team to a state championship, or anybody can coach and turn them into a winning season, or, well, it's no big deal. Yeah, that coach won a lot of games, but they won because of all the talent they have. Okay. How about a senior next year that's had four coaches in 4 years? That's four different voices, four different philosophies, four different schemes, four different defenses probably, when we're talking about any sport.
Sure.
Four different offensive sets, different jargon, and everything else. What do you hear in pro sports? Well, why does Alex Smith struggle so much in San Francisco? He had a different offensive coordinator almost every single year. The jargon was different. The system was different. The coaches changed. It made it tough, and he's a professional. Getting paid millions of dollars, it's not easy. Now imagine real life. Would it be easy for, we have a new owner every single year at this radio station? Would that be easy on all three of us?
No.
You think that'd be good? We have a new owner every single year? Would it be good if there's a new general manager every single year?
No.
Probably not. Would it be good for us to have a different sports director every single year? A different news director every single year? We'll just blow Dusty and Chad and Wade out, bring in a whole new cast of characters. A year from now, let's blow them out, bring in somebody else. You think that's stability? You think they're going to be a problem with that? It's true. You could bring in the three new people, and they might be really good. But if you cross the wrong person, they might all be gone. Then you start over again and start over again and start over again. And it's a vicious cycle.